Continuing our Explain a Word series in the book of Joel, and in chapter 3, we have some prophecies of things that have yet to be fulfilled because they pertain to the tribulation time and to the millennial period. And like we've said before, you wonder why were these given to Joel so long ago? In a way, some of it was pertaining to what was going on then, but just like many of the other prophecies given to us quite some time, even prior to what was given to Joel, that are there to give us a glimpse into the future so that we can adjust and change our lives to be ready for what is coming later. Just like he was given them this information so long ago. But as we continue here in Joel chapter 3, reads, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink." Now verses 1 through 3 here would pertain to things that we see prophesied over in Matthew chapter 25. If you will turn over there, we can see how the Lord is further teaching us about this. And it's talking about the Battle of Armageddon when it says about bringing them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That valley is in the area that we also know as Armageddon. And we know the Battle of Armageddon will take place at the end of the tribulation time. So over in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Now, here is where he's talking about separating those at the end of the tribulation time that are still alive at that time. And the sheep, as you continue to study in there, we know will go into life eternal. But, well, jump on down to 46 and see where he says that. Down in 46, where it says, "And these there," he's speaking of the goats, "shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The goats into life, everlasting punishment, and the sheep into eternal life of grace and pleasure and blessings and beyond our wildest imaginations of the blessings that He has in store for us for eternity. But here we see the reference back over in Joel is speaking of that gathering together of all the peoples. Because in that battle of Armageddon, you'll have all of the unrighteous coming up against the righteous. Read verse 2 again. "I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat." We know we have the references over in Revelation about how they come from the north. And He's going to bring them down. So they're coming from the north down into Jerusalem and that area. And here particularly into that valley in that Battle of Armageddon. Now if you look at Revelation chapter 16, you can pick it up here. In verse 12, it reads, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now that allowed them to come and invade that area for that final battle. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So that's where he gathers them down. Of course, we know there'll be a great slaughter there and the judgments afterwards. But we'll have a initiation of the millennial period, the 1,000 years of the ruling reign of Jesus Christ. Because right there where he's talking about on his throne over in Matthew, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's sitting on the throne of the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Not New Jerusalem, but the restored, rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, which there are already efforts underway and have been quite some time to build that all back. They have this, many of the stones already cut, many of the gold trays and utensils and implements that they need to go back to doing the Old Testament sacrifices and so forth. That sort of things are already crafted out, being stockpiled and stored, ready for that time. And currently they cannot, because currently it's occupied area by the Muslims, the Temple Mount, that gold Temple Mount, that gold dome that you see on the pictures of Jerusalem there, that's on the Temple Mount. And that will have to be wiped out, taken away. And that's not going to happen until you get rid of the Muslims, which, of course, we know that's going to happen during the Battle of Gog and Magog. Okay, now get back over into Joel for some more clues about things that are going to be happening as we see in Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Over and over we see references throughout the scriptures about accountability and about how the things that are going to be coming upon folks are justified. It's because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. Talking about the pagans that had come through and had raided many of them by this time that Joel's speaking of, and many after him. They would just ransack the place and steal the things. There is, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Now you see, this is talking about an area here of fulfillment that had been taking place already. And again, through history, you see these kind of things happening, but the ultimate fulfillment in the last days. Verse 8, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. All right, now in verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. But getting into the preparation for this great battle, as he continues, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Because all of this that he's prophesying here is speaking of that great battle that's going to take place right there at the end of the tribulation. And the motivation for all those nations to come down, all the ungodly ones, to raid Israelites. And that's what he's referring to here. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now he's speaking to, at the end of that, when the people are all killed that come up against the godly people, and the division comes, come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Right now, if you go back over to Revelation chapter 19. I know that all these have been called down, and that reference to the sickle and so forth. Over in Revelation chapter 19, pick it up at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So these references back over in Joel, going right in line with what's prophesied in Matthew and over in the book of Revelation. And as we continue back over here in Joel, Joel chapter 3, in verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now we know there are a couple references in Revelation about this darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars and so forth, about the stars coming down and striking the earth and the aftermath from that. So when you have a vast amount of material in the air, it darkens the sun and the moon. So if you had a meteor strike the earth, you would have a big plume of dust and debris and gases rise up. If you have a great earthquake, which we know is prophesied in the last days as well, that spews out a lot of dust and particles. That darkens the moon and the sun. It won't show the light. So these are clues and references to the chaotic conditions during the tribulation time and at that ultimate last point. Verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Note, all this destruction, all this chaos, all this judgment coming upon only the ungodly. Because God's going to protect His people through all of it. In verse 17, "So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore." Now, getting over into the eternal state, as well as some of the period of the millennial time, speaking of the restoration and how Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign right there from the throne in Jerusalem, the restored Jerusalem. Verse 18, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Chittim." This is talking about the millennial period, the restoration of the earth. After the tribulation time, the earth will be uninhabitable. It'll be so devastated, so destroyed. So the Lord will restore the earth back to like it was prior to the fall. It'll be like the Garden of Eden once again. And that will be for the 1,000 years ruling and reign of Jesus Christ, known as the millennial period. And that's what he's referring to here, the restoration. In verse 19, it reads, "Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land." Now he's jumping back here to what will happen prior to this restoration of the entire wipeout of all the big cities. Of course, we know over in Revelation, it speaks of Babylon. Babylon being a symbolic name of all the great nations, of all of the attitude and behaviors of the ungodly, very profitable nations at that time. Here's referring specifically to Egypt and Edom. 19 again. "Egypt shall be desolate, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah." Note the reason why. The judgment is coming upon them because of their behavior, the way they treated the children of Judah. "Because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion." Now he's getting into not only the millennial period of the beauty and the grace and the blessings coming upon the godly, but also the eternal state. Because to fulfill this verse where it says, "But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation," refers to New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem, we can find over in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 9. The reason, "There came unto me," this is John, in the midst of his being given this awesome revelation. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." You've got to always understand the difference between the restored Jerusalem, which will be here during the millennial period, and New Jerusalem. Because the restored Jerusalem that will be here during the millennial period will have already been polluted by sinful man. Because we know that at midpoint of the tribulation, Satan will fully indwell the Antichrist, and he will be set up as God and proclaim himself as God and sit on that throne of the restored temple during the tribulation time. That same temple is what the Lord uses to sit on during the millennial period, but would not be good enough for eternity. Therefore, that temple and the entire planet, the entire existence of all physical existence that we know anywhere and everywhere in all the universe will be wiped out completely. And there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And this is what he's speaking of here. A new Jerusalem, a city, as it continues. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Note, this city is coming down from heaven, down to a new earth. Because John is standing on a great and high mountain. During the tribulation time, the great and high mountains are going to be wiped out, because it says they'll be totally devastated down to just rubble. So this has to be a reference to the new earth. Verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And he goes on to describe this beautiful great city, about the gates and all the adornment and all the gold and the fountains, and I mean, so much beauty in that. And that's going to be on the new earth, not the restored earth. That's where some people get confused about the restoration and the new. There's a big difference between a remodeled house and a new house. You can make a remodeled house pretty comfortable, but deep within its core is still that rot from the past, the impurities from the exposure of time, and the pollutants are within the core of a remodeled house. But on the exterior, it looks pretty good and it's pretty comfortable. We do not have for eternity a restored earth. We have a new one. No rotten core in it. No residue of impurities. No history of sin on the new earth. We know it's going to be great. We know it's going to be beautiful. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. New, not remodeled, not just restored, but new. Not going to be this planet. It's going to be a whole brand new planet, because we know this one's going to be taken away completely and totally wiped out and gone. As it says over in 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything. The tiny little particles, everything made up. Gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. We have to look forward to a brand new earth. Not remodeled, but brand new. So let's go back a little bit and look at a quick timeline. We see these prophecies of the past. We see the fulfillment of many of them through the history, and we see these that have yet to be fulfilled. So looking at what we have to look forward to as born-again Christians, the very next event is the rapture. The rapture of His church, the rapture of all the born-again Christians. When they are raptured out, it will cause such chaos that the battle of Gog and Magog will kick in. And the battle of Gog and Magog will wipe out the Muslims and redesign all the government systems and so forth. They'll rise up a man of power, the Antichrist, but God will end that battle Himself with a great hailstone rain, and that battle will be over. But an Antichrist will rise up and proclaim that he is the new leader of the world, sign a treaty with Jerusalem, and establish peace. That signing of that treaty will initiate the 7-year clock of the tribulation. The first half, the 3.5 years, will be judgments coming upon this planet. It'll be horrible. But won't be nothing compared to the second half, because at the midpoint of the tribulation time is when the Antichrist gets fully indwelt with Satan, and he will sit on the throne of the restored Jerusalem, making himself out to be God. And then the great tribulation time will kick in. Then the far worse earthquakes, far more hailstones, far more meteors, and far more judgments on the planet. And at the end of that, the Antichrist will gather his people together to try to fight against Jerusalem again and destroy them. But there'll be a battle, and the Lord will end that with the sword of his mouth, simply speaking. And then there'll be a great division of the godly and the ungodly. All the ungodly will be killed and placed into hell, waiting for judgment. The godly that survived tribulation time will go into the millennial period, rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a season and then tempt all the people. And then there'll be a lot of people that decide to follow Satan rather than Jesus Christ. And there'll be another big gathering together and another big battle at the end of the millennial period. God Himself will destroy them instantly with fire, wiping out everybody that come up against the godly. And then the great white throne judgment kicks in. And at the time between that battle and the great white throne judgment, God will destroy all of the current existing materials. Everybody will be there at judgment day, the great white throne judgment. And at the end of the great white throne judgment, a new heaven, a new earth, all the ungodly in hell for eternity in the lake of fire, and all the righteous on a brand new earth with God and Jesus Christ, walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ right there in New Jerusalem, which is going to be a huge, beautiful city, 1,500 miles square city. Beautiful. Outside of that, because it talks about the gates, you'll be able to walk outside that and enjoy the big, beautiful, brand new earth with all the animals designed exactly like they're supposed to be, good, no devouring each other, all like it was prior to the fall of man, for eternity. So we got a lot to look forward to. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It's amazing, these prophecies written so long ago, and we have so much to look forward to as born-again Christians. But those ungodly out there have so much to dread if they don't change their ways. Help us to be motivated to go out and help them change their ways so they can be looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth as well. Thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.